The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is November 4th, 2014. We are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And our other motto now is, we are the stewards of strength here. We are the gatekeepers. Today is Tuesday, obviously, and we have somebody that I love having on this show, obviously. He's been on before. John Bruni is on again today. It's been a little while. We're going to catch up with him, see what he's been up to. But we're going to talk about a very, very interesting subject, and could be other things, too. We're going to see what happens. We're going to talk about something I'm sure none of you ever heard of. It's called mental training. I'm just joking, obviously. But every show we get into, we get on to something about the mental aspects of training. And I don't think that we could beat this in our heads enough. So I'm not going to get into this until we get John on. And John, with no further ado, welcome to Motivation Muscle. I'm so glad you're back.
Dude, I am jacked up to be here. Looking forward to an awesome podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to have you here. Before we get started with mental training, why don't you, it's been a while now since you've been on, and I know, you know, we see you on Facebook and all that, but why don't you give my listeners out here a little bit about you, what you're up to, and what you're planning down the road?
Well, for those who are out there, I'm a performing strongman, best-selling author of Neuromass, the ultimate system to spectacular strength. We are involved in training everybody from NFL athletes to Olympic wrestlers in the past, and now working on a brand new system called Wrestling and Combat Sport Domination. And I'm also working on a new book right now that it's kind of under wraps as far as the title, but it's going to be an anti-cardio book.
Yay!
So hopefully, that whets everybody's appetite.
Yeah, it whets my appetite, I tell you that right now. Holy God, that's beautiful, man. It's about time somebody goes against the grain. Mm-hmm. Holy God. All right, let's get into mental training. And you and I have been both doing this stuff for quite a while. And give me your definition of mental training, John.
Well, mental training, especially when we're looking at what we do, it is the mind and muscle connection, the entire body working. And where the mind goes, the body goes. And I think so many people think it's opposite, that the body leads the mind. The mind always leads the body. And I think that's the key aspect. If you were to define it as a whole, it is training your mind to direct your body to where to go, as far as your goals, your workouts, where you want to be, all those things are tied to what happens in between your ears.
Why do you think people discount the mind so much? I mean, you hit it right there. It's like they think the body leads the mind. Well, I've got a million questions about this, but we'll start with this. Why do you think people discount the mind so much? What is it, you think, that causes that?
Well, so many people take so little time to think these days, just in general. We have become creatures of habit. People just want to plug and play a program in or put in a workout DVD or something else. And we really go through life, I think this kind of goes through life mindlessly. So they discount the mind because they don't really have to use it that often. How often do people really have to think for themselves? They come to the gym, the routine's already laid out for them. I think that's why some people discount it, because they don't understand the power of it. if people if they understood
ahead,
the power, they'd be all over it. But so many people think it's about just putting in the sets, the reps, go home, eat, sleep, and repeat. And there's so much more to it. Everything from self-sabotage, you know, we'll get into all those discussions, but I would say the number one reason people don't do is they don't have the power, and they've never really taken the time to think for themselves as far as athletics are concerned.
I agree with you. I'll hit two things right now because we talked about it before we came on. Laziness, I think, is a partner with most people. Mm-hmm. And probably people are not going to like me saying that, but you know what? I've been around enough people, trained enough people, lifted myself, lifted with partners, et cetera, et cetera. That's why we call this motivation and muscle. You need a very high degree of motivation. I read a couple articles today just on different things, and it's pretty funny. It's very basic, and that's what we try to stress here with everything.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you read, no matter how many times I come to John and say, John, you're the greatest, man. You can do anything, blah, blah, blah. All right? And maybe you are, but here's the thing. You're not going to do anything unless you motivate yourself, all right? And I've seen this a million times. It's like, maybe I can motivate you for, say, 2 or 3 weeks, all right? But eventually you're going to start dropping off, dropping off, dropping off. Now, what do we do at that point? Well, here's what I tell people. You got to make a choice. You can either stay here and we can change, and you're going to have to change from the inside out, or it's been a pleasure working with you, and I just think that you need to possibly, you know, go with somebody else. Now, nobody wants to turn business away, but my point is this. I want to be happy when I'm training people because it's falling back on me, too, because nobody wants to be in a situation where it's like, okay, I need the money, but I'm dreading this person coming here today because it's like, how do I – it sinks me kind of back in too. And I don't want that, you know, and I don't want to, you and I both know training people takes a lot out of you. If you're really committed to what you do between drawing up, you know, programs and kind of getting them focused, that's a big problem now because most of them have, some type of mobile app basically glued right to their arm. I call it their third arm now. So these are things that, you and I and everybody else in this field are probably getting hit with on a constant level. The second thing was you really made a great point about, you know, everything's arranged for you. Basically, the only thing you guys aren't doing for everybody is you're not lifting the weights. Mm-hmm. And though I do see some trainers, they like to pull up on bars, which I've seen, I'm sure you've seen, and you got to kind of shake your head a little bit. But you know what it was this morning, John, when I told you about I was watching – Steve Jack's video on Kavalin, and Kavalin is the Husafell stone for anybody that doesn't know. That's in Husafell, Iceland. And I'm not going to get into it real heavy. I've been there, had an injury. We got in a bad storm, et cetera, et cetera. We're going back in 2015 regardless. But this is what I'm going to hit you with here, which I know that we can relate this totally. To me, doing something like that. Now, you're going to hear the people say, well, who wants to go lift a stone? How many people can go lift a 400-pound-plus stone and walk at 50 meters? That's relevant, but it's irrelevant to the point I'm going to make here. That type of training is going to separate you from the whole pack right there because there's something about it. It's old. It's barbaric. It's all the things I like about training, it makes you like you become like a mental student. And by that, I mean the amount of energy you have to incorporate into yourself to achieve this magnitude of strength to even lift that thing off the ground. And when they call you full Sturker because you've gone all the way around it, you're fully strong and Icelandic. There's something about that. It propels a man to become more than a man, I think. And this is, in mental training, I think this is so important to whatever it is you're into. And I think, from my perspective, you need tests like this. And you're never going to get mentally sound or tough if you're just kind of like floating through life there, you know, avoiding, as I say, screw walking around stuff, smash it head on, man, and see what happens. So, you know, John, that's kind of like where I am right now. And, you know, I'd like you to comment on that, you know, whatever you feel with what I just said to you.
Well, absolutely. One of the things about a stone like that is you are embracing history, and it's almost a quest. And when you go on a quest to accomplish something, you have to be all in. It is mind, body, diet, you know, the preparation to do that, endurance, the test of your very soul, if I dare say that. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Deep, and the passion that it takes to do something like that, that you have to be. And I think everybody, you know, not everybody's going to lift a stone.
No, no.
But everybody needs a stone in life, whatever that may be. And that's one of the things, you know, everybody needs to decide what is their stone, what is their quest that they're going to go out for in their athletic endeavors. For some people, that may be a 600-pound squat is their stone.
Yep.
For some people, it may be, you know, losing some weight, mm-hmm. you know, what a stone is, but it has to be something that it tests you to your very soul, you know, mind, body, soul, heart, you're all in. And without that, you'll never really know what you're made of. One of the things that we do in athletics, especially in my coaching career, is we always tell people we're going to find out if you have intestinal fortitude. Mm-hmm. When I coach football, when guys would get deep on defense on a goal line stand, I said it's in those times I find out what you're made of, not when the game's going well, not when everything's great. Can I put my body, my mind, everything on the line and find out really what I'm made of? And sometimes I would tell guys after the games, I'd say, hey, you know what, you really surprised yourself a little bit, didn't you? You've got more than what you even know you have. But unless you're put into the deep water situation, until you're not in the shallow end, into the deep end, you never know what you're made of. And then we talked about another point about this whole motivation on the inside. One of the things I do is I do presentations all over in the corporate world too, and I have this presentation called Impact. And mm-hmm. I use the word impact as an acrostic, and I won't give the whole thing to you because I want people to come out to the presentation.
Absolutely.
But the letter I always stands for internally motivated. And mm-hmm. if you don't have some kind of internal motivation, you're never not going to make it just in the field of athletics. You'll never make it anywhere in life. The people that succeed know how to motivate themselves. It is a lost art.
Yes.
And we use things like this. One of the things I love about this podcast, it's a tool for motivation. Mm-hmm. Books are a tool for motivation. In the end, these are tools. You have to still have something internally that says, I'm going to apply what I've heard, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to run with it. I always look at people and ask, you know, what's the last book you read, or last system you read, or the last training book? And, you know, they'll tell me, and I say, what did you do with it? Oh, not really anything. And I'm saying, we're way overeducated. I think it's John Mack had the quote, we're educated on the level of our obedience. And
yep.
he's talking in a spiritual sense there, but it's also in a physical sense. There's never been a time where we've had so much access to so much training material and tools, and yet we just don't do anything with it.
No, and I agree with you. I think that we've reached a saturation point.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you remember, let's just say even 15 years ago, you never had the access you have now. So it becomes more of a thinking man's game at that point. I mean, I've read a lot of good things by a lot of good authors. And I always try to take something from whatever I write or whatever I read, because at that point, it's really up to you to implement with all the things you've read and all the things you've done. Now you have to kind of come up with your own ideas and how you're going to implement them, where they're going to work best for whatever you're trying to achieve. Now, you need people like you and I and the others out there where, you know, I'm not gonna go out, say I gotta learn how to squat properly and I've never done it. Well, this is where our information is so valuable to the trainee that wants to get into physical culture. But once you've reached that point where you know what you're doing now, now it's up to you to become the guy, the go-to guy. I'm me, I'm going to learn, I'm going to do things, I'm going to be successful with them. And I think now with this over-saturation of material, and, you know, if you look at it, it's almost like you've got a trainer in every corner now. And you and I both know the majority of them aren't worth spit. Mm. And it's a money deal, all right? Now, look, I'm not against money. I mean, everybody should make all the money they want, but there's a level where honesty, to me, is everything. Your integrity, how you conduct yourself, because you and I both know, you know, there's plenty of people out trashing people all over. Word of mouth to this day will kill you quicker than anything. And once that happens to you, right, wrong, or in between, you're finished. And standards are the most important thing. You have to have standards to complete any of these big, lofty goals. And my message is this, like John said, I'm a guy, look, I like things now more than ever, and I think it's just because of the last few years with everything to get into this business and be out of work and et cetera, all those things. You go through a lot of changes physically and mentally, and I hope for anybody that's dealing with this stuff, I hope that everything is going great because, you know, you're going to get knocked down so many times. You know, there's a number of times I've got to the point where it's like, do I need to turn around and go back to what I was doing because I know I can make a ton of money, but I'm not going to be happy? And the answer every time is no. You things are growing and things are changing and you have different people you're surrounded with. The ones that maybe were important, things aren't the way they were anymore. You're growing and constantly changing. And this is very important because if you can't do this type of stuff mentally, you're really out of it then. And what I like now more than ever, and this goes business-wise and more so ever in training, is I like stuff pushing on me.
Absolutely.
I want something basically to kick my ass in the ground and say, let's see if you can come back and get me. Now, John and I both know we've been doing this a long time. How many times have we been successful and how many times have we – and I don't like using the word fail because I never think anything is a failure. But let's just say we got dropped on our butt a million times more probably than we've had with success. But this is what makes you successful. This is what makes you passionate with what you want to do. And I can tell you now, I'm enjoying lifting more now than I ever have in my entire life. All right, I started lifting when I was 10 years old. I think the reason why is because I feel so happy outside of the lifting arena I have out in the back of the house. When you're happy personally and you like what you're doing, I think you can enjoy it mentally too. You don't have these burdens on you all the time. Yeah, you got pressure. Absolutely. I got massive pressure on me right now. But I know now how to channel and funnel it so well now too. Where there's day, I'm not ever saying to myself anymore, should I turn around and go back? Now it's like I said, when John made a few statements before, I said, we don't walk around things anymore. We slam them head on, and then we worry about it. So that's my little speech, John.
Well, I love it. Touching on a couple things, you know, one, pressure is good. Many times, part of the mental game is being thrown in the pressure-cooked situation. So many people don't understand. I did a Milo article. It was a long time ago called The Gift of Resistance.
I remember that.
And the whole aspect of lifting is a metaphor for what's going on in life. Mm-hmm. This resistance is a gift that makes you stronger. Yep. Mentally and physically. And if more people could understand that, and you know, every day, every time you go through a workout, especially when you don't feel like it, you are building mental toughness and you are doing things. You know, you talked about this whole thing about being a happy person. Lifting has given me so much. You talk about happiness. A couple months ago, I got a new bar. And happiness to the lifter is getting a brand new bar. I got a new safe bar, dude. And my wife was kind of making fun of me because I went down in the basement probably about 15 times that day. You know, over the course of the next day. I'm like, dude, I can't get away from doing squats. I just love it so much, you know. And I did squats all the time before, but it's like you're like a kid on Christmas. You get a new thing and you got to do it like 100 times, you know, way overtrained. But that's that happiness. But if we want to talk and take it to the next level, you talked about success and failure. And because you're put in pressure positions, this is what the greatest mental training and mental toughness will do for you. What happens when you get a pressure situation and you don't fail, but you don't necessarily succeed? Let me give you an illustration of that. I do programs all over the United States where we bring big stacks of bricks. And there have been times, you know, and sometimes you don't know. There could be a flaw in the brick. Sometimes just you hit it just off a little bit. What do you do when you've done this hundreds of times and you get to that one stack of bricks and you're in front of 1,000 people? And I remember I was in a hockey arena doing this actually one time. And we had done a practice session in the locker room. Everything went great. We got it out on the ice, and one of the spacers was off just a little bit, which I didn't know, which it wouldn't have mattered. Still should have broken. And only the top three bricks broke. How do you react to that? I had to immediately go and force myself to break the other bricks. But here's what happens. That next show, that's always in the back of your head.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, what if – and it's very painful when they don't break, by
the way. Absolutely.
And, you know, I think that's only happened maybe three times in my career. But there's all, what's great is there's always a chance to break the next step. But it's a mental thing. Can you come back from partial success? Instead of failure, I always like to call it partial success because the bricks did break. You know, three of them broke, and then I broke the whole thing again. Partial success. Can you come back from those partial successes? And that's one of the big things I like to focus on is that you don't succeed or fail. You partially succeed. And
no, that's
just kind of, what do you think about that? Throwing that back.
No, I think that's a great terminology because it's just like, you know, you go to squat. I mean, you know, I'm doing everything in the rack out of the hole anyways. And it's like, sometimes you come up, sometimes you come up crooked. Sometimes you don't lock out or you fall right back down. You know, gravity's a pretty neat thing with you. And I just look at it as like, well, you know, I got a partial here tonight. And I try not to burden myself with, you know, it used to be years ago, and I still do it, though. I mean, how can't you if you're a competitor? You kind of like blow up on yourself, you know. You'll think someone's in that garage with me. I'm yelling at myself, literally, and it's like, saying some things to myself I shouldn't. But it's the heat of the moment, and we use that word passion. Well, anybody that gives a damn about what they do is going to be extremely passionate, and at times we can be unkind. But you know what? It's in the heat of the game. And like I say, I've said to other people, John, if you're going to hang around with me, you better have thick skin.
Yep.
Because there's going to be times where you might not like me too much, you know. But there's going to be other times you're going to be. I'm glad you're like the best friend I've ever had. This is just the way it is, and that's how I operate. I mean, at times I can be very, very, very aggressive and, I guess people would say emotional. I don't like that word because I always think that's like somebody bawling, and that ain't going to happen with me. But, you know, you can be bigger than life. Let me put it that way. And another thing I don't really like, and I think this word is used too often, is stress. Now, you hit it before where we do need to have some things like that. And I think people blame any little thing that, you know, if they're not even feeling good, it's because I'm stressed. Now, we know that, like before when we were talking, stress is a good thing. It doesn't always have to be bad, and you need to have these things. What good would life be if every single thing went exactly how you wanted? How would you and I even be sitting here talking right now? It's due to things that have happened to us in our lives that we're you know, hey, I'll compliment both of them. We're great at what we do because we've been through things. We've had experiences. We've had to learn. We probably, you know, I don't know. I'm sure you have, you know, trained alone. Once you start training alone, you got to become very smart about how you think. Mm-hmm. How, you know, I've had to build equipment. Well, I've had somebody build it, but design equipment so I wouldn't get killed out in that garage because there's nobody spotting me. I'm using extremely big weights. Same thing with stones. I don't have the luxury, and most people won't do this. They don't find the validity in it, and it, you know something, the unique thing about what we do is this: at any age, you know, providing God willing, we're nice and healthy, and we don't have a million injuries by age 50. Okay, just think how many. And I'm not even going to call this a sport; it's physical culture. It's more than a sport. How many things that you engage in physically can you do basically till they either put you in the ground or they want to cremate you? I can name one: weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the only thing that I can think of in my head that we could do this forever. And I think, once again, if you look at people with longevity, and once again, we're talking mental because obviously – the body's going to follow the mind, and obviously we're all built different. Look at my grandmother lived to almost 108. Mm-hmm. She was in the last month, she was not cognizant, but she was cognizant almost all the time. You know, there's two things she believed in. It was like, you know, you keep yourself mentally sound, and she was very involved in church. That gave her a lot of strength. Everybody draws strength from different things. But if I was going to model myself off somebody, I'd model it off her because she, you know, was a nurse till she was 76 years old. Just a person of faith, whether you want to speak of church faith, faith in yourself, but mentally, always mentally cheerful, not a complainer, you know. You ask an opinion, you're going to get a very strong opinion. So I think this whole mental approach we're talking about does gear itself to not only our physical, I mean, our physicality is everything. But I also think it's really, you know, it's like the old saying, you know, what you believe, you conceive. There's so much that's pertinent to that.
Absolutely. I just preached a message this past Sunday about the power of limiting beliefs. And mm-hmm. everything that we do, and this is why mental training is so important. There's like three or four things you touched on that I want to hit on too.
Go ahead.
Everything we do in life stems out of belief system. And that is spiritual. It is about our physical, our financial, everything that's happening. We actually act out of our beliefs. So the way I believe determines my actions. And that's a huge thing. If people understood the power of that, and that's where the mental training comes in, is evaluating what do I really believe about life in general, about stress. You know, I believe stress is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the gift of weightlifting is it helps you evaluate, recover. The whole aspect of lifting is you get put under a stressor, you recover, you get stronger. Well, that trains you to deal with stresses and to recover faster. So the person that, you know, is running from stress all the time is going to be under stress all the time. The more you run away from it, the heavier it's going to be upon you. But this whole evaluating the beliefs, we talk about this, a popular psychological term, but it's so true in lifting, the whole conversations that you have with yourself in your brain.
Yep.
You
yep.
are constantly having these thoughts all the time, and you have to learn to control. And this is, you know, we talked about mental laziness. So many people allow their thoughts to go unchecked, especially when it comes to the weight. And this whole self-talk and conversations that you're having with yourself, I've heard so many people, and I've done it myself until I've learned to really catch it and check it. The conversations and the things that we say a lot of times sabotage our workouts or our PRs.
Yep.
I train alone 90% of the time, except for the bench press. And I started getting into it again. Enjoyed getting over 500 pounds this past summer in the bench press. But it's not my – I'm more of a strong man. So I was just doing it to develop – you know, I think we always need to be stressing and doing new things. But I have to train that with partners because it's just is dangerous. He's saying.
Absolutely.
So in working with that, I've caught so many times the guys or myself coming in that day, coming in that night saying, dude, I feel weak today.
Yeah.
That felt heavy. That warm-up set felt heavy. What I'm doing when I say that is stressing and also sabotaging what's going to happen. So I have learned to say things in my brain, even though people don't hear it, and it works.
Yep.
The heavier it is, the easier it is for me to lift. The harder this workout, the more I enjoy it. The more stress I'm under, the happier I'm going to be, and it totally changes everything that I want to do. And the other side of that is thinking of success before you ever take on the lift. So many people never take the time to work out before the workout.
Nope.
What I try and do is use that 10 to 15 minutes before the workout when I'm getting some caffeine in my system, because, man, I love caffeine before workout. I like to go to that crazy zone, the hurt locker. I like to see that workout before I ever work out, and I want to focus on what I want to happen, not what I don't want to happen. I don't focus on seeing, hey, I missed that lift or I missed that PR. What I always look at is every lift is a PR, and I see myself going through it. I see the sweat. I see the screaming, the yelling, the focus, everything happening as I do that. Every time I take to do that, I lead my body to where it wants to go.
Yep.
So many people never take time to mentally prepare every time they hit the gym or the garage. For me, it's the dungeon. You know, mentally prepare, get ready, and get ready to succeed every single time.
Yeah, because, you know, before you know it, the workout's done. You know, you don't realize how quick these workouts go, and you can't get them back. You know, another thing I want to hit with you on too, John, is this, and I'm sure you've seen this and heard this. What is it with everybody now? And I can't say everybody; that's a broad brush, but it's considerable. What is it with everybody that they feel they've got to constantly reinvent themselves? And by that I mean, it never seems like they're right for themselves or for anybody else they like or want to be with. Or, you know, I've read things and, you know, you hear all this garbage out on the internet that, you know, if you're this personality, you can't do this or you can't be with this one. And I know it's a lot of it's a money-making scheme, but is it just that human beings with all the stuff around, they just can't shut the noise off? And it's like, they're never happy about, you know, they buy into all these theories that you got to be this way to do this, or you can't have this because you're this way. What is it? I mean, how can you ever get to know yourself if you're trying to change yourself every 3 months? I mean, that's mental confusion right there. And then the next thing I would elaborate on is this. I think at that point, you almost become worthless as an individual, because you never really find out who you are when the answers are internally. If you can shut the noise off and be quiet for a while, you're going to start getting the answers you want. So what is it? Is it fear? I mean, or is it just people are so bombarded now that they just don't know?
Well, here's the big thing. Everybody looking for somebody else to tell them who they are or what they're good at or affirm them. And what I start with that internal affirmation, for me, I have a spiritual life. Not everybody has, you know, develops that.
Right.
But for me, that was a big side of it, is looking internally and spiritually and finding out who I am, what I'm supposed to do, not having somebody else tell me that.
Yep.
But here's what happens. If you find out what you're really good at and who you are, other people will naturally affirm that. But mm-hmm. so many people want to reverse the process because, again, it's mentalness. Internal is work. And sometimes it's painful to dig down there and find out, you know, what am I afraid of? What am I good at dealing with yourself? Some people don't want to do that. So they're searching for somebody else to give them affirmation before they've affirmed themselves. And that creates a weak psyche. And then what happens is they say, okay, this guy has the answer mentally. And they follow it, and then they're still unhappy. So they just chase plan to plan to plan to plan to plan. And like you talk about, it's not – I don't think reinventing yourself is bad if you've never really done the work to understand who you are. But once you've understood who you are and what you're good at, that's the reinventing part. It shouldn't be 6 months down the line, oh, man, I guess that's not what I really was.
Yeah.
To me, it tells me you have not spent the time and the sacrifice, because it is – do this. It is a sacrifice to get alone and get internal. And like I said, it's so hard – because people don't want to deal with success and failure and where they've made mistakes and why they've made those mistakes and where they're going. And so they just let everybody else guide them. It's pure mental laziness. So I recommend everybody has to spend some time asking the main question, what was I born to do? My wife always says every time I take on stage, she says, the one thing I know is every time you get on stage is I look at you and I say, you were born to do this.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying that's why I'm so comfortable in what I do. I know I'm doing what I was born to do. So many people don't, and so they're looking for somebody else to tell them what they were born to do.
And the thing is, too, I mean, when you're like that, you just bleed out confidence. And confidence is something that people can pick up externally, and it's almost like it's something that even though you're just standing in one spot, it is basically – it's like air spreading all over the room. And it captivates people because let's look at a thing that I think that is real vital here is and I'll connect the dots for you if it doesn't make sense at first. We always like the underdog. You know, I'll take for example, probably my favorite would be the Rocky series, all right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Now, as he would call himself, a pug from Philly, basically, you know, street brawler, but became a boxer, you know, never knew his potential. Always, you know, ham and egger, as he would say it, in these dirtbag clubs where they're all drunk and you know, throwing bottles at you and you know, you're beating somebody's face in for $25, you know, and then you're asking, when am I going to fight again? And this is how I'll connect the whole thing. You know, obviously Rocky had been around there 9-10 years in the gym. Mickey was the guy in charge, former fighter, you know, older guy now, you know. And I think he was searching as much as Rocky was, because there was a lot of potential there. But until the two of them finally locked, where he came to him after he had that opportunity to fight Apollo Creed, you know, as you know, it was supposed to be a joke. Rocky discovered through Mickey that I do have the tools. I do have the mental capacity to train like this. I do have success in me. And sometimes what we're talking about today, which is vitally important, is you need a guy like John Bruni to communicate that to you, or you need motivation and muscle to tell you that, you know what, you're not down on your luck, all right, but maybe you're just a lazy pug. And this guy found out, a guy that was basically living in a one-room apartment with a bunch of turtles, all right, that yes, he did have it. Yes, he could do it. But it took somebody like a Mickey to bring this out of him, and we know the rest of the story. He wins in the second fight. He has his ups and downs, goes broke. If you watched Rocky Balboa, 5 years ago, I believe it was out. It was one of the, I think it might have been his second best out of the whole series. It depends what actors you like or whatever. I like the idea that in the end, he lost his wife, but he got to get back in and do what he loved, and that was fighting. And that's what we have. We all of us have a little of Rocky Balboa in us. And the challenge is always going to be, can you get through whatever it is that is beating you down mentally? And if you listen to the speech he gives his son in the street, it had to be one of the best things I've ever heard in a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you think about it, you know, it's like, you know, life is not sunshine and rainbows. It's a mean and nasty place, and it will beat you into the ground permanently if you let it. Think about those words. It's unbelievable. And a man like him who's been through wars, you know, as in the ring, and all the mental, think about all the mental things. If you sit down and watch those six movies, if you want to see what mental training is, pay attention and watch, because you're going to get an encyclopedia of it there. But the thing I found most about that, and I didn't really want to get into the whole movie thing, but this locks into what I think, and we'll see what John thinks after I turn this over, is this. By the time we were into the sixth film where he lost his wife, and he was suffering, not only physically, but mentally, especially when he's in the scene with Paulie in the meat house, and he's talking, and he's still got stuff in the basement. We all got stuff in the basement. I don't care who you are, whether you're competitive, whatever. And the worst thing you can do is take that to the grave with you, because you're always going to be questioning and asking yourself, why didn't I do this little thing? Why didn't I say this thing to somebody I really cared about? Why? And that lends itself, once again, to mental confidence and the whole thing. But the point I'm trying to get with the last Rocky movie was this. Rocky was kind of – he was very lonesome. He missed his wife unbelievably, and who wouldn't? But he didn't have a relationship with his son very good. And Paulie was pretty much it, you know. And a man or woman that's always searching, it can be very painful. But you know what? And I'm going to bring it right back now to weightlifting, as Rocky did in boxing. He had a love, man. He had a confidence with that. And he had a mental style of training with that, which, with all the things going on around him, he went and did what he loved most. And we know the rest. Obviously, he didn't beat the guy, but it was pretty much close to a draw anyways. The point is this. His exceptionalism is something that you and I all have in us. All we have to do is be like the sculptor. They say, you know, like a Michelangelo, a masterpiece. You know all he did? He just chipped away the rough edges. He already knew what he was going to, you know, make, build, construct. But he knew how to do that. So that's what I say to you. That it's back to you, John. I hope I didn't go too long. But that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, who cannot get jacked up about that speech when he's talking about, I hit you, but you get back up, that's how winning is done. You know, who cannot get fired up about that? But that's what it comes down to is, you know, you watch a Rocky movie, they're my favorite movies of all time. Yep. I've got them on DVD. If you are ever in need of some motivation, or you need to kick yourself in the fanny, you know, because sometimes we all get down, you get to kick yourself in the fanny. One of the things I love about Rocky is people watch that, and vicariously, they think to themselves, if he can do it, what am I doing with my life? If he can have all these things against him, and most of us will never, now again, it's a movie, but in life, unless you believe, you know, Chuck Wepner, another story for another time. If he can have all those things going against them and still make it, what am I doing with what I've been given and the gifts? I don't have near as many hardships as Rocky faced, you know. The other aspect I love about it is this. During those movies, he experiences a lot of the famous spiritual authors would talk about the dark night of the soul, where do I really have what it takes? There were sometimes he thought, I can't win. In fact, there was one, Rocky III, Adrian says, you can't win. You know, you can't do it.
Right.
And it's that whole self-discovery again of finding out, do I really believe in myself? It takes other people to believe in us, but in the end, you know, it comes down to, do I believe in myself?
Yep.
And in so many people need to get that down, because I found many, many people who have tons of people who believe in them, but because they don't believe in themselves, they've sabotaged their career. Look at the great leaders in politics and and anything, business and everything. A lot of people believed in them, but they were weak internally and didn't believe in themselves, and eventually sabotaged their careers and fell.
Yep.
So in the end, it comes down to, all of us are going to go through a dark night of the soul. And it's how you come out on the other end of that that matters. And if you don't believe in yourself, it does not matter what kind of circumstances, good or bad. It doesn't matter how many gifts you are given, how much talent you have. You'll never be successful until you believe in yourself.
Without a doubt. And, you know, I remember, like, when you were saying that thing with Adrian, it was like, I remember in the first movie, you know, he goes out for a walk and he gets back in bed with her, and you know, he's talking about, I was nothing but a loser. And and she says, well, don't talk like that. And it's like, all he wanted to do, which was pretty damn cool, he says, no one's ever gone the distance with Creed. And he goes, I don't care if he opens my head up. He goes, I'm going to make the distance. And then you think to the very end of the movie, the last round, where, you know, he's pummeling him, he knocks him down, and there's Balboa getting up, pulling his trunks up, putting his hands right up and going, come on. Now, if anybody doesn't feel any type of vitality out of that and gut stirring right there, you're dead.
Absolutely.
You're dead from the neck up for sure. So the thing that I grasp on anything like that is this, and you hit it before. No, there's nothing fatal. You know, if you can still breathe and move and think, guess what? Success can come. If you look at some of the stats now, some of the biggest age growth right now, I believe, for millionaires in the United States is from like 60 years old to like 75 years old right now.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me that, and if you don't want to be a millionaire, that's fine. I'm giving you an example. Just because, as Rocky said, I got a few years on me, doesn't mean I can't do it. So, you know, that's the whole thing. Don't listen to what society tells you that, you know, you're 40 years old, it's all downhill now. That's all a bunch of shit. We all know that. It's like there's things that people put out there, whether it's to manipulate you or just say, you know what, we're pretty much going to castrate you and you're going to just take it. Don't buy it. Because I think from your 40s to however you live, I think you can be still a superman, superwoman, whatever you want to do. It's these limitations we put on ourselves mentally that end up driving us right into a hole. You know, the least little bump or bruise or pull or headache or whatever, I'm right in to see a doctor. Well, most doctors are there for one thing, to prescribe. And it's like, I think a lot of them care big time about people, but they're under the gun too. So they've got to move you in and out. And when you get into these, you know, it's almost like you dig a hole and you keep digging, you know, we're going to talk lengthwise, you know, not deepness. And you're taking a little more. So you're digging another part of the hole out and you're going to this next thing and the next thing. And pretty soon you don't know where to go. And I believe that we are all equipped with everything we need. Now, does it mean we don't need help from our friends, family, whatever? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. There's nothing wrong with reaching out and helping somebody. But isn't the fun of it to go out and be like a Roman gladiator or whatever you want to do, a Viking? Wouldn't it be fun just to go back out and maybe discover new lands and meet new people and lift bigger things and, you know, just how about jump up and down and laugh a little bit? So I think that a lot of people need to pull back and decide once and for all what is important to me. And I know we need things to survive in the world. We all need money. We want a nice warm house. We want a loving family and all that. But there's a part of us, too, that is like, a beast by itself. It needs to be alone. It needs to think, needs to figure out, and it needs to implement. And once it's implemented, it's successful. And I believe, truly, if you can accomplish those things, you're going to have more love around you. Maybe you're going to meet the mate you've always wanted. If you have children, you're going to have great, wonderful children, and you're going to do something you love. So that's kind of my mental take, John.
Love it, man. I'll tell you what, I am stronger now in my 40s than I was in my 20s. And
yep.
I have to constantly remind or be reminded that I'm in my 40s because I've forgotten about it. You know, I'm always looking forward to what I want to do. And sometimes, you know, you think, oh, I guess I am in my 40s. I don't care. I am stronger now. And I think strength is something that can continue as long as you are pushing against that resistance, as long as you get back up, pull the trunks up, you know, and go one more round. I think for everybody, there's always one more round. My favorite ones, you talk about Rocky. Hey, Tommy Gunn, I didn't hear no bell. You know?
There
doesn't have to be a bell in your life.
I love it, man. That is the way to go because it's like, I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's like, it doesn't matter if you get pulverized. The human body is such an incredible organism. I'm not even going to call it a machine. It's like you think about the abuse you give it, and you do take care of it. Not everybody does, but even people that don't take care of it, a lot of them live long lives. Now, I'm not saying it's a healthy, prosperous life, but it just goes to show you the body never fights to die. It fights to live, to go on. That's why people have children, because you want to have another generation of you moving into another one and another one. But regardless whether they have children or not, the body wants to keep progressing, growing, you know, getting stronger. This is just a byproduct of everything. And weightlifting, to me, is I don't know how. I mean, I couldn't thank the heavens enough for whatever propelled me besides my brother and with muscular dystrophy into this, but it was the idea. It was just like there was just something appealing about it from the first time I picked up sand weights. It was almost like, you know, somebody you cared about putting a big arm around you and saying, you can do this. And that's how I felt when I touched that barbell. And, you know, here it is, a leaking set of sand weights and a wooden bench, and I thought it was the greatest thing. To this day, I wish I still had the stuff. It propelled me to where I am today. Many different definitions of me, many different physical and inner looks. And weightlifting is responsible for all of that. I believe where I am today, obviously, it's a dream. It's still a big dream going on. Weightlifting, the mental tenacity, learning how to break through barriers, learning when things are really bad, man, when you feel, you know, you got outside things, whatever's going on, and you rise from it, and you get hit and bashed all over the place, and you're not sure, you know, you're on like one knee, man, but you stand back up and you rise. And this is how greatness is accomplished and achieved, because you can't be nothing but great if you can just keep going through one thing after another. And in the middle of all this, guess what? You get to enjoy your successes. You know, John goes and puts shows on. You know, I can't wait to get back to Iceland. These are all things. It's like a love in your heart, man. It's like, you know, it's like when you first go out with your girlfriend. If you really like her, you got those butterflies, and when you get that first kiss, it's like your lips feel like somebody lit them with electricity. You know, it's like you turn the burners on, and you never want to shut them off because it's a feeling that you know, unless you've been there and done it, it's indescribable. I'm sorry, and it's the best feeling you could ever have in your life.
Yeah, and you know what's awesome about that with weightlifting? It never gets old. You know, there are things in life say, that's getting old. I got to do something new.
Yep.
The thing about lifting, it's always new because there's always another PR to conquer. There's
Absolutely.
Always another pound to add to the bar. There's always another rep to be accomplished. Nobody ever walks away 100% satisfied from the weight room. You hit a PR, the very first thing you're thinking about is, I can't wait to hit the next one.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You're already like applying your next workout to the one you haven't even finished. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's like,
but it's such a good feeling to be able to think like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, think it's, you know, do you realize what you've been given, what kind of mind power you got, and to be able to take that and transfer that to the physical end of everything, to be able to get under a big bar and know you've got to push that thing right up, you know, and it's like, it's the same with you getting back into bench pressing. It's like you said, it's that little kid excitement. It's like that Christmas morning when you go down and your eyelids are pasted to your forehead because you can't believe all the great things you just got. And being thankful and appreciative for things and saying that, like you were talking about the internal stuff, you know, instead of using the negative factor, when you're under a full level of appreciation and you're helping other people, you can't but not get more and more coming your way. It's when you shut down and you let people hurt you, or, you know, you've got something wrong that, you know, someone's wronged you. That's when you get in trouble, because you're hurting your whole being. You're hurting everything else you're doing, too, because you're holding in resistance like that. And there's nothing wrong with getting mad at people and you know, you yell at them and you get furious and all that. But, you know, once that's done, it's done. I've learned that for way too long. I carried around things like that. You're only hurting yourself, and you need to rid yourself of those things. And that all comes from mental tenacity and mental training. And you can't get more. You could buy any book you want, and there's fine stuff. I know you've written stuff. There's great stuff out there. But I still believe the weight room is where I got my education.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. It'll make you smarter. It'll make you tougher. It'll improve every area of your life if you'll just be all in.
Oh, yeah. John, it teaches you a lot of things, too, that, you know, I know for another show we could talk about this, but it's just made me better personally all the way around, too. I mean, I have my days like anybody, but I've got more patience now than I've ever had, too, and I've never been very patient with a lot of things. I'm not patient with things for myself. Like I said, I'd rather hit it head on then step aside and go around it. And I think that's just the way we're made mentally. I think that we expect far more out of ourselves. And that's where I have trouble too with people on occasion, where you're trying to implement how you would act and you know you're not going to get that out of a lot of people. So that's another thing you got to kind of toe down, tail down a little bit, I guess. But I think weightlifting in general, if I had to put a stamp on it, I would just say, I think I told you on one show, my brother and I were talking about this. If there's anything I ever did right, this was it. And if I ever had to leave the world today, I'd be very proud of what I've done and accomplished with this and personally what it's brought me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? You're still continuing to make a difference with things like this podcast. You know,
yep.
That's what this podcast wouldn't have ever happened if you didn't have a love for the Iron Game.
Oh, without a doubt. The Iron Game, I almost feel bad for people that scoff at it or say, I tried it and didn't work, because you know why it didn't work? You weren't around the right people.
Yep.
That's what, you know, and who you associate with is going to make or break you. You know, how many times have we seen, whether it's kids or adults, you know, they get in with the wrong crowd and maybe they don't have that support, or maybe someone just doesn't give a damn about them. And, you know, the next thing you know, they're in big trouble. And once you get to that point, sometimes you can't get back out of that trouble, and it can wreck your life for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
Do you got anything else that you want to add right now, John? Because we're getting near the end of the show.
Well, just want to say, if you want to, we are on page 119 of the brand new Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, cool.
That's out there. You can get that. Any retail store has the Guinness book. And there's a nice page on 119 of a bed of nails on my chest and my wife jumping on top of it. Also, yep. Be looking to some new projects. Like I said, the anti-cardio, that I don't know when that will be out. The name's under wraps. It's all kind of top secret right now. And I'm going to give a shout out to my training partners out at the Concrete Gym. That's a garage gym where it's just hardcore guys making each other better by lifting weights.
And that's what it's all about, brother.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about. What else you got? You want to give websites? I know you got equipment and all that. Why don't you give us all that stuff, too?
Absolutely. SubmitStrength.com. You can find some really cutting-edge stuff. Heavy steel logs. I mean, we're talking heavy. We've got them up to 250 pounds with no weights on them. That's the log by itself. So it's a beast. So we start those out at 140 pounds, all the way up to 250. We've got the revolver, which is a rotating barbell. Because I'm one of those ones that believes, like Mike Mentzer said, anything you can do to make your workout harder is a step in the right direction. So we've got all kinds of stuff on there, grip tools, conditioning. And if you want to find out more about my performances, you can get on pressingthelimits.com and just see some of the ridiculous stuff that we've trained the body to do. So we'd love to have you on those sites.
Okay. Is that, you got everything there, John?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company. That's www.fiorellobarbellco.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We are, let me think, you can get a hold of me at Fiorello Barbell at nicap.rr.com. We are on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, and we are also on Facebook for Motivation and Muscle. That's what you type in. On Twitter, we're at Fiorello Eric. And check out the two new websites. Eric Rulu is the guy that does all the work for me. Both Fiorello Barbell and Motivation Muscle are brand new, and we're working now on our new weight loss product. We're going to have a brand new site called The Weight Is Over Fast. That should be all done before Christmas. Let me think. I think that's it. Did I got you still, John?
Yep, we're still on, bro.
Okay, I want to make sure. So I think that's it. Hey, you know, another smoking show.
Yeah, I thought it was great, bro.
But I'll sign off now, and I'll talk to you in 1 minute. So for John Bruni, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank you for being on the show. And remember this, we are the stewards of strength here. We're the guards at the gate. I got news for you. And with people like John and all the other people that have been on the show, I can't thank you enough. And I can't thank the listeners enough. I just want to give you this. 2015 is going to be a monster year. We're going to have a lot of different guests on. But we've got a core of guys here that I think we've got the best. And these people really give a hoot about everybody that's involved. And I can't thank you enough. This is a pleasure to do something that I love. And all the circumstances that happened prior to this that I never even thought we'd be at this point now. I want to tell everybody out there, dreams do come true. So, like John and I were saying, you know, put your head to the grindstone, you know, and I love that, obviously, grindstone, because stones, that was just a little metaphor, ha-ha. But here's the point of the matter. You know, be a mental student. You know, don't be afraid to train your mind. And you know, as my dad used to pound into my head all the time, be a leader, not a follower. So think about that. And if you got any questions, you know, I'm sure you can contact John. You can contact myself. If there's something you liked show-wise that John and I could do for you, you know, don't be shy. And if you don't like what we do, tell me that too. I got thick skin. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.